VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Mr. Morris, and good to have you with us on Crosstalk today. We are looking forward to a very interesting program. The man who's going to be with us is no stranger to Crosstalk. His name is Waleed Shubat. And for you who are probably new listeners, Waleed Shubat is a former Muslim Brotherhood activist, dare we call him a terrorist, who was willing to die for the cause of jihad. He converted to Christianity in 1994 as a committed Christian, warning about Islam. He is the author of several books, including Why I Left Jihad, God's War on Terror, and the newly released The Case for Islamophobia. Its subtitle is Jihad by the Sword, America's Final Warning. And it's a privilege to have Waleed. Welcome to the program.
You bet, Keith. Thank you for having me again.
Yes, sir. And as we're looking at the title of this new book, literally has a message just in the title alone, The Case for Islamophobia. We often hear the term Islamophobia, and it's meant in a bad context, like a bully tactic. Are you saying Islamophobia is a good thing?
Well, attempts, we have to look at the attempts of why they call us Islamophobes. You as well is called Islamophobic. The attempts by the Muslims is to place Islamophobia, this new term, on par with anti-Semitism, on par with all the racial issues that we deal with. But it will never be successful because the diagnosis of Islamophobia includes a prescription that says afflicted individuals must necessarily disagree with the U.S. Constitution, because according to our Constitution, critiquing religion is not a phobia. You know, it's part and parcel of our rights and our heritage. So it colludes with the Constitution of the United States. Judeo-Christian critics of Islam, who believe they commanded to love Muslims. Yet we know, by the way, we love Muslims. But that doesn't mean we don't address the issues of Sharia, hijabization, the Islamic laws. Fear of Sharia is not a phobia. It's a rational fear.
It's common sense. It's common sense.
Right. While they make us focus on Islamophobia, they're ignoring Judeophobia, Christophobia, Amerifobia, and all kinds of phobias there is. In fact, you know, philosopher Pierre Benn, he suggests that people who fear the rise of Islamophobia really foster an environment that is not intellectually or morally healthy. What we're dealing with is an Islamophobia phobia. Let me explain. You look at the liberal movement in America. You know, if there is a mandate to say, you know what, the Turks need to come to terms regarding the Armenian genocide, what does Hillary Clinton do? Oh, no. We shouldn't be dealing with this issue because we could be viewed as Islamophobes. Let's not rock the boat. In reality, it's the Hillary Clintons and the Al Gores of the world are the ones with the phobia. They're afraid of an onslaught or terrorism or Islamic ridicule for addressing the issue. So they, you know, it goes back to my rule. I always say, people accuse you of the very thing they themselves are guilty of.
Now, Waleed, you know, we're talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. Technically, you were part of that thing, weren't you?
Yes, sir. Even though my detractors try to deny I was, that Islamic Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood, wasn't there when you were in your youth. However, forgetting that even the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Hajj Amin al-Husseini, he was a Muslim Brotherhood working with Hitler. So the Muslim Brotherhood, at its inception in 1928, was pretty active in the Middle East. But they always bank on the lack of history in the West. They don't understand much of history in the West regarding the Middle East, so they make claims that are basically easily refuted without giving you the forum to try to refute it. The media owns a bunch of slick willies who are always trying to thwart the truth that your radio station is attempting to do.
Well, you know, one of the things we have to look back, even some people who I think ignorantly make statements, unstudied, no documentation, simply they're hearing the words, and so they parrot them. I think of President Bush, who said that Islamics and Christians worship the same God. And you know that's not the same thing.
If we worship the same God, then I guess I didn't have to convert, Brother Vic.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we worship the same God, I always ask these questions. Okay, Faisal Abdul Rauf of Ground Zero Mosque, I mentioned him in the case for Islamophobia. He says we worship the same God. So let me greet him then. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, my God and yours, right?
Trouble already.
What would you think he would say? He would say, well, no, wrong. Well, then we don't worship the same God, do we? Now, that's by their own definition, we don't worship the same God. They accuse us of saying, you know, you're kind of off course here, you know, we need to have peace, we should say these things. But they themselves, the Muslims, would say we do not worship the same God. So why should we accept something they affirm?
Waleed, some time back, I got a book from CARE, the Council on Islamic Relations thing. And it was a beautifully done piece of printing. I mean, full color process. And you had Islamics with American flags and all kinds of things that gave an image of Islam, which is so different from that which we hear from those who literally know the story. Now, one of the things that we find is that in Arabic, statements are made which totally appear to be different from what we're hearing in English. Tell us about that.
Well, every time, the last 4 years, I've been dealing with this issue continually for 4 years, in which you see on Fox News, Faisal Abdul Rauf, the man behind the Ground Zero Mosque, you know, is being asked, does he condemn terrorism? And he pleads the fifth, in which nothing in the English you can find on the guy. Yet I was the first in the country to break the news that the man wrote an article in Al-Ghad newspaper supporting Hezbollah and Hamas and saying this is the way, this is the method. So he supports clearly terrorism. In other words, what I have been exposing through and through, not just one case, this is only one case in point, tens of cases of these major teachers who come in like wolves in sheep's clothing, trying to say they condemn terrorism, but there's reality. In reality, there's nothing indifferent between their agenda or Osama bin Laden's agenda or Anwar Awlaki's agenda, in which one says, I will do it by explosive act, the other will do it by a Trojan horse act. So the whole mechanism really is what the Muslim Brotherhood from its inception stated, that they will destroy the miserable house of America from within by using elements that agrees with their concepts, agrees with their liberal agenda. The Islamic movement is not a conservative movement. It's a liberal agenda. Keith Ellison is not a conservative. Look at everything he stands for. It's all part of the liberal agenda. So, in fact, what the conclusion was is that the liberals are not useful idiots. They're collaborators in the same effort. Does evil fight evil here? No. Evil works with evil. So they're hands in hands working together. And through Islamophobia, of course, they attacked, you know, someone like Michelle Bachmann. Michelle Bachmann is a congresswoman who spoke on the issues of infiltration in America. Yet you had 99% of the Congress stand against her, calling her Islamophobe. So what is that telling us? It's telling us, to say it bluntly with no apology, that the majority of our politicians, our Congress, our senators, are cowards.
Yeah.
There is no other way to explain it, because the case that was presented, it was approved by one of the best lawyers in America. What's his name? Andy McCarthy. Andy McCarthy was a prosecutor who prosecuted Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, the man who tried to destroy the Twin Towers the first time. But has America learned? No. In fact, it's going in reverse. The enemy is the one who is victorious. And he's not victorious by doing jihad by the sword. He's doing jihad by the word, by the infiltration mechanism to say we all worship the same God, let's have peace. But peace doesn't live in a vacuum. Peace has to come by truth, by justice, by history. The lack of historic knowledge in America is immense when it comes to the Islamic threat.
Waleed, you devote a full chapter in your book on the Muslim sisterhood. Who are they, and are they active in the U.S.?
Oh, extremely active in the U.S. In fact, Huma Abedin's mother, the assistant and aide to Hillary Clinton, was found out not to be a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, but a leader in the Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh.
Her membership cards, everything. In fact, the father, her husband, Saleh Abedin, her husband, was active in creating a manifesto in Saudi Arabia. The manifesto declares very clearly how to destroy America from within, how the Jewish community is an obstacle to this goal, that they must be eliminated. I mean, this is akin to Hitler's manifesto, Mein Kampf. Mm. Yet, you know, this is a real manifesto here in which it's very clear that the sisterhood organization has 63 member leaders who are women. So the myth in America that women in Islam are undermined, no. They're undermined in many ways, but they're not undermined from taking positions of leadership when it comes to infiltrating the West. And in fact, in the book, people need to read it, I show a tremendous amount of data, interviews, leaders like Camelia Hilmi in trying to say there's a conspiracy to destroy Muslims and kill them. So they try to, you know, portray us as the ones who are the Hitlers, when in reality, you know, they're part and parcel of the Muslim Brotherhood, which has taken over Egypt, by the way. You know, a few years ago, when I used to say Egypt will be controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood, I was laughed at. When I used to say there is a revival of an Ottoman Islamic empire, I was laughed at. Nowadays, you could go take a look at any secular expert. Just plug in neo-Ottomanism, and you'll see how the Islamist movement wants to basically portray this old movement, the Muslim Brotherhood and the whole thing, as a moderate Islamic movement. And the Turkish model is being played all throughout the world, in which the West is being conned to support the Syrian revolution. So, in essence, my conclusion is that mediocre Western minds are no match to those many centuries of Islamic deception. They need to understand the deception which Christ talked about. He said, be as wise as what? As serpents. Be as innocent as doves, but be as wise as serpents. How can we understand serpentine wisdom if we don't understand the nature of the beast and how he enters and how he plays politics and how he infiltrates the government, the CIA, the FBI, the university apparatus, the Fort Hood right after the massacre? You had Lu'ay Safi in my book talks about, you know, how Lu'ay Safi, who says that we need to basically not force everybody to become Muslim, but we need to enforce Sharia law. And he gives training seminars after the massacre. You know, at the Fort Hood. So, you know, in other words, this is a game of good cop versus bad cop. They're both bad cops. You know, the bad cop causes havoc. The good cop plays it with words.
We're going to be right back in 60 seconds. Our guest today, Waleed Shubat, and talking about the new book, Islamophobia, the case for Islamophobia. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in the textbooks, it says that sickle cell anemia is a beneficial mutation. Is this true?
No, it's not, Chris. Sickle cell anemia is a genetic condition that is a very tragic condition. It's often fatal to the carrier, and even if not fatal, it's harmful and painful. The beneficial nature of it is due to the fact that those who happen to be carrying sickle cell anemia have a slightly higher chance of surviving malaria. But a fatal disease could not truly be helpful, certainly not in an evolutionary sense. Chris, this is the best example of a beneficial mutation. Evolution needs trillions of beneficial mutations, but has only one or two very questionable mutations they can point to. I think it shows best of all that evolution simply did not occur. Let's go back to Genesis and understand things correctly, even mutations.
For more information, visit us on the web at icr.org.
And welcome back to Crosstalk, where our guest today is Waleed Shubat, a man who was a former Muslim Brotherhood activist and a man who was a terrorist intentionally following the rules of jihad and converted to Christianity in 1994 when he was challenged regarding the Bible and his attitude toward it. Well, that's a long story in itself, but he's the author of several books entitled Why I Left Jihad, God's War on Terror, and the newly released The Case for Islamophobia, which is a subtitle, Jihad by the Sword, America's Final Warning. Waleed, as we think about what's happening here, Fox News has reported that Egyptian mosques have been turned into torture chambers for Christians. Tell us what's happening.
Well, many of Coptic Christians who are just doing their business, going about their business on a daily basis, are being captured and thrown into mosques and tortured in Massey by large numbers. They're beaten to a pulp. They're being kidnapped. In fact, I urge every American who's listening to watch a video clip called The Passion of the Copts. The Passion of the Copts will show you the kind of things they suffer. Just a couple clips out of thousands that I can obtain, in which you have a woman, her daughter has been kidnapped, raped by a Muslim extremist in Egypt, in which the family, after going to try to collect the daughter from the police station, saying, hey, you know, our daughter's been kidnapped, they say, well, we're sorry, your daughter now is married to a Muslim. They force marry them to Muslims because they're considered as concubines. And then they are raped continuously, and the parents have no legal rights to collect their daughter. And if this, imagine if this happens in America. We keep forgetting that the Copts are Christian believers. We keep thinking of only the evangelical believers exist in the world, but we forget that even God himself addressed the believers in Egypt in Isaiah 19, which Christ, one of the purposes he comes down, was that when Egypt cries for a savior, and God will send them a savior and a mighty one. Who's that? The Messiah. Mm-hmm. The psalm says, gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. I can't wait for that day because I still like some trouble. I still like to fight on the side of Christ, these vicious enemy. We have a case even, we started an organization, Brother Keith, called RescueChristians.org. And we do the physical rescuing of Christians out of Pakistan. Lately, we had a case of a man named Ryan Stanton, in which he had to flee. We had to rescue him, send him to another country. We can't discuss too much of the details of how we rescue these Christians. So it's in Pakistan, blasphemy laws, in Egypt. The entire universalist Islamic movement has done something tremendous towards the Christians in the Middle East, creating universalism, undermined nationalism. Under nationalism, even under Saddam Hussein, the Christian minorities were protected. Under Hosni Mubarak, the Christian minorities had some protection. By removing nationalism, which is something that the Bible calls us to basically adhere to, he does not want a universal order. He wants nationalistic governments to take charge. The American administration has been working very hard into dismantling nationalism in Egypt, in several parts of the globe, even in the Muslim world. In Syria, it's happening today, in which the Christians are left into a dire consequence, and that is convert or die, or even get raped. So, you know, we have to go back to the Bible and think of what Christ said. You know, he talks about, you know, dividing the people who thought were believers and people who thought, you know, both thought were believers. One is believer, one is not. And he says the one who's not a believer didn't care, did not come to rescue, did not come when he was in prison, did not come when he was naked, did not clothe him, did not give him comfort. And they ask him, what are you talking about? And he says, just as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. So the mark of a Christian is not just, you know, a hoopla, sing and dance and a worship service. We love you, Lord. It's about, you know, holding the fort. It's about carrying the cross. It's about aiding your brethren when he is persecuted. It's about much more than what we think here in America. And this is the difference between the Christianity that is in the East versus the Christianity that is today in the West, which is most likely becoming corrupt by the day.
Well, last week, WND reported that a columnist for a leading pan-Arab newspaper is calling for the executions of George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and John Bolton for the U.S. military actions against radical Muslims in Iraq. Your comments on this?
Well, my comment is that, you know, it's not the first time these liberal leftists want to basically kill presidents of the United States.
Yeah.
That should be a very serious charge, by the way. You had a Dousari, a terrorist in the United States, who wanted to kill President Bush, and yet there is so much clamoring to release this terrorist in prison. I have done a case of several Saudi inmates in America who were charged on terrorism charges, imprisoned for sexual molestations and so on and so forth. Yet even WikiLeaks shows that there has been a collaboration between the United States politicians and government to release terrorists and sex offenders back to Saudi Arabia. In other words, the problem is that we're not exposing the elements of the Saudi involvement and the Wahhabist involvement. Even if you look at Fox News, I dare anyone to go search Fox News in their archives and search Saudi Arabia and see much of what Fox News says is very little regards of what goes on in Saudi Arabia and the element of the Wahhabist movement. Why? Because Saudi Arabia plays the major role. It plays the major role in Syria. It plays the major role with Qatar as well. It works with the United States. It plays a major apparatus, which little has been done to expose.
Let's go in on that topic of Syria. I know there's some serious concerns that Muslim rebels have carried out a chemical attack. What's the real story on this?
Well, the real story, we always have to, when we examine a case of genocide or massacres, is to look at the victims. The question is, who are the victims at Dar al-Asal, where it happened, that rocket was lobbed? The victims were Syrian military, not militants. Testimonies, we've gained a tremendous amount of testimonies from Syria itself, saying who lobbed the missile and so on and so forth. In fact, we've gained tremendous amount of information, including videos, and the video is worth 1,000 words, showing the Free Syrian Army having, you know, captured missiles. I'm not talking about small missiles. I'm talking about major Scud missiles. Even in one videotape, Brother Keith, they fire a Scud missile, showing it on video for the whole world to see, but never been shown in Western media. Mm-hmm. This is why we do the work we do. SAM 7s, weapons, experimentations on using weapons, chemical weapons, on rabbits and what they plan to do for anybody who opposes the Free Syrian Army. And so now we can see in the future, once this takes control of the country, that Syria will become a hub of something that is akin to Nazi Germany, in which they will basically execute and exterminate Shiites and Christians as well.
Where are the Muslim rebels receiving their weapons from?
Well, mostly from Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and much under the rug from the United States and NATO, in which even you have John McCain, even against the instructions of Obama, who says, you know, maybe we should take a little back stand here. But you have the conservative. John McCain says the time is now that we have to aid and abet the Syrian rebels. So let's be frank and honest that at times you see many of the so-called conservative elements falling into the trap that we are aiding and abetting a revolution that wants to oust a dictator. You know, we have to always think that this tyranny in the Middle East is a coin of two faces. One face that says, well, Saddam Hussein and nationalism, Muammar Gaddafi and nationalism. The other face of the coin says Islamic fundamentalism, Muslim Brotherhood, international movement, universalist movement, with no respect for borders, with no respect for any minority. And that's the issue that we need to address before we jump into the bandwagon that we need to basically eliminate all the tyrannies in the Middle East. We need to understand this from a perspective of history. George Bush Sr. says, I will tame Saddam. George Bush Jr. said, I will eliminate Saddam. Look at the first result versus the second result.
Waleed, we've got one more item before we hit the break here, and the word has come out, of course, that John Kerry's son-in-law, that's Secretary of State John Kerry now, took Hillary Clinton's place, that his son-in-law is an Iranian-American with ties back to Iran. Should this be something we should be concerned about?
Absolutely, because when you work in the government, relationships, okay, relatives do count. It's not like, you know, me and you who work in the religious sector or whatever. When you work in the government sector, relationships count tremendously of who your acquaintances are. So if you are acquainted with someone who is an element in an Islamic movement, especially in the revolution of Iran, in which his daughter is involved there, it creates tremendous amount of influence if and when the Iranians decide to use, you know, his daughter as a negotiating point. So those are very serious issues. We had the same case with Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin. And many said, well, you know, that's guilt by association. Well, associations do count when under the legal issues of government. Association is, if you just look up association with government laws and how you hire FBI agents, CIA agents, politicians, it means a lot of who you're associated with.
We've got just a bit before the theme comes up here. Waleed, where can people get your new book?
Well, it's just came out of the bakery. So if it's on Amazon, it's possible to be there. But they can get it from my website.
Give that out. Shubat,
yeah, shubat.com, just as you spell the word shoe, S-H-O-E, and bat, B-A-T. SHOEBAT.com, and the book title is The Case for Islamophobia, Jihad by the Word. Sword, the S is scratched, that word is exposed. In other words, it shows the infiltration in the West.
Oh, great. Well, I hope that many of you will access that and get more information. Waleed, we always appreciate your being here and the great work not only you but your son is doing as well. He has authored several books. Share about that.
Well, Theodore has been tremendous in really training me and teaching me about my lack of historical knowledge in the West. He knows, you know, Western history, ancient history, Islamic history as well. He's pretty much, when it comes to the interaction in history between Christendom and Islam, he's tremendous there. He written a book for God or for Tyranny, When Nations Abandon the Laws of God. Oh. Tremendous book. It shows emphatically, if we abandon God's natural laws, we will always end up in tyranny, which is what we're seeing today.
We're going to take a break, and in a few moments, be back with you. And we're going to turn to a very, very important topic, because we're going to do some introspect here. Why is it that America is falling apart? Why is it that America is adrift like a ship without an anchor? We're going to talk about this, and Waleed has some very pertinent things he'd like to share with you. Right back after this break. This is Crosstalk on VCY.
When it comes to the topic of music, often we are quick to provide a defense of the style of music that pleases us, without ever considering what God has said in His Word. Sadly, churches hoping to broaden their appeal are changing their music, without regard to the principles laid down in Scripture. To assist individuals, pastors, and music leaders is the book Worship and Music in the Word. In this book, Dr. Dean Kurtz provides a comprehensive study of worship and music from Genesis to Revelation that guides the reader on this important issue. Over 350 pages of study, combined with practical, heartfelt applications from a pastor's heart, are offered, but always with an eye to the final authority, the inspired Word of God. VCY America is making available Worship and Music in the Word. One copy for a donation of $20 or three copies for a donation of $50. To obtain your copies, call 1-800-729-9829. That's toll-free, 1-800-729-9829.
And welcome back to Crosstalk, where today we're visiting with Waleed Shubat, a man who first thought that terrorism was his calling and literally felt that it was his job to support Sharia law and support the terrorism of Islam until he met the Messiah. And his love for Israel, love for the Word of God, his love is obvious, and he is a man standing to fight for that which is right and to stand up for God's Word. And Waleed, we were talking even during the break, and this is where we're turning a corner today, is this issue of why is it this strange, I guess you'd call it apathy, this strange attitude of American people, and yes, even politicians and attorneys that are so wise, that, but when they look at the evidence, it's just like they're blind.
Well, the answer is simple. I've been thinking about that with Theodore in the last few weeks. We're writing a little expose titled "A Nation Where Heretics Abound." In America today, Brother Vic, and I'm sorry I called you Keith in the previous
interview. That's all right.
In America today, Brother Vic, we rarely even hear the term heretic anymore. Why? Because we have ourselves become a nation where heretics abound. Heretic, in today's evangelical circles, has become an old cliche, if you will. It's been swapped with the word legalism. You will likely get anathematized and labeled as legalist or judgmental or works-based for discussing laws of absolutes or the necessity of doing good works or even exposing and fighting evil. You are labeled, you know, no matter what. If you even believe that good works as a Christian virtue, and me and you, I believe we agree, good works is a Christian virtue which emanates as a natural flow for the faith, the true faith that we believe, as a good tree produces good fruit. But today, we have Chrislam. We have major household names signing, you know, the agreement of a common word, which says that we all believe in the same God. It's a yoking Christianity with Islam. It's part of the whole Chrislam movement. We have the rise of the power of leftism and Islam today, which threatens the very foundation of America. We have a decaying church plunged into heresy. You know, if Solomon said there is nothing new under the sun, today most Americans ignore what manure has been really baking under it. For example, right before the Muslim Seljuk, we have to look at history. How did Christendom fall under Islam? Right before the Muslim Seljuk Turks took over Christian Asia Minor, what happened to the church? The church of that region was vastly engrossed in what? Heretical theology. We today are pacifist. They also were pacifist and anti-militarism. In other words, if you begin to fight evil, you're called militaristic. He's militant. He's this, he's that. And that's what happened there in Asia Minor. This, by the way, fomented corruption within the government, leaving Byzantium very weak, and it was conquered by the Islam, by the Islamic world. The result was what? In 1071, when the Muslim overran Asia Minor, invading much of the land. In fact, a similar situation took place in 7th century in the Arab Muslim world when they fought against Egypt. What happened? They did the same method here. They began to say, we worship the same God, Christians. Come on, let's have peace. And the Egyptians fell into the trap, and Egypt was subjugated under the yoke of Islam. So you have the same thing. We have heretics abound. We need to understand how the heretic movement works in America. Number one, there's facts about heresies. Heretics always operate from a vacuum, Brother Vic. From peace to grace, the heretic movement in America always uses biblical terminology and definitions that only exist in a vacuum. For example, Today, most modern evangelicals belabor the mantra, it's not about works. You hear it all the time. It's not about works. While we agree it's true that works do not save us, the Christian faith can never be defined as a faith that is void of it either. The hard biblical fact is that no one is void of works. Both believers and heretics produce works. Just look at the heretical movement. They are into environmentalism. There are many major names here. You have, you know, Farley, Andrew Farley, his wife, worked very extensively on the movement of environmentalism. In fact, even Newt Gingrich had to boot her out, the wife of Farley, when Rush Limbaugh rightfully exposed the extremely anti-human agenda of this movement in the Christian circles. So, you know, we need to begin to focus on heresy. We hardly focus on heresy. How to define it? Heretics always isolate verses. They complicate the verses. They even reverse the meanings of the verses altogether. So you have that we are holy all of a sudden, that we can even define heaven, that we can even deny the eternal hell. You know, theologies that have been taught galore in the church circles today are of heretic origin. In fact, if you look at the works of Andrew Farley, you know, the things he says is very heretical. You know, he talks about minimizing population. He talks about him and his wife. They say humans are the only explanation for climatic problems, for the climate problems. Biblically, we know there's going to be a climate problem, and that is the sun will heat. It's the sun that will heat, nothing to do with population increase, but that got to do with God punishing the earth. So they know, the evil knows that there's going to be problems on the horizon, yet they twist the truth and the reality that the problems is human beings. We need to understand the nature of heresy. Heretics always espouse pagan ideologies over the Christian ideologies. In fact, if you look at the works of Hayhoe, the wife of Andrew Farley, she espouses the works of Holdren. Holdren is an advisor to President Obama. He believes that we should leave our Christian ways and go back to the pagan practice of infanticide. This is infecting the church dramatically. In fact, I was dealing with a pastor, Pastor Jeremy White, of a church I spoke at, which I, for the last 3-4 years, I've seen him go back and forth trying to use the same works of Farley to espouse a new Christian doctrine, which is right from the pit of hell.
You know, Waleed, and there are so many heretical doctrines that are being floated, even among people when you talk about the promise of heaven and redemption through the blood of Christ, and also the issue. And we have people today who have false conversions. They're academic, but there's no heart change at all. And truly, when the heart changes, then the fruit of that faith becomes evident through the working out of the person who's been redeemed.
Absolutely correct. Heretics always believe in an earthly utopia. They are in the church talking about earthly utopias.
Yeah.
They make up a heaven that appeals to the physical senses. That's how you know a heretic. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, was the world's greatest heresiarch. He painted heaven in a very sensual fashion, regardless that God says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered to the heart of man, you know, what heaven is like, basically. I'm paraphrasing the Bible. But if you look at the definition of heaven by these heretics, you know, in Farley's book, he says, and I quote him verbatim, this is supposed to be an evangelical major teacher. He says, what if heaven wasn't just meant to be experienced after we die? What if heaven can be enjoyed here on earth right now? Best-selling author Andrew Farley shows us how to take in the beauty of heaven, no matter what our circumstances. With insight firmly rooted in the reality of pain and suffering, Andrew assures readers that heaven is not some pie in the sky dream for the future. It is now. He shows us how to awaken the five spiritual senses in order to see, hear, smell, taste, and feel the grace of heaven. Even in the midst of trouble here on earth, he says that heaven we can experience in this life lies within us, far beyond the reach of the world, but well within our grasp. It's kingdom now, heaven now. Hell, don't worry about it. It's not even eternal. You know, I have even people I dealt with, like David Regan. David Regan, he's an annihilationist. Most Christians don't even know. He says that heaven, hell is not eternal. You know, the unbelievers will be basically burned and that's it, and consumed and that's it. This is called annihilationism. This is part and parcel of heresy that was in the church. So we see this heresy that came from time immemorial, that has been revived in the church. Nothing is new under the sun, as Solomon says. What is not new is that we're not watching what has been baking the manure that's creeped into the church.
You know, Waleed, when we think of people even like Rob Bell, a man who really stirred the evangelical community by his saying that he didn't believe in a hell, and now he's come forth, this is a man with an evangelical Christianity, or so-called, that is now said that he is a supporter of same-sex marriages. I mean,
there you go.
This stuff, it is like leprosy creeping within the church.
There you go. And this is what I always ask. People say, well, you know, this pastor, he's just, you know, about homosexuality. We should ignore it. But let's take a look. If you look at, you know, the major denominations that were in America, the Presbyterian, you ask and you say, well, if you look at the pastors that are pro-homosexual marriage, what else are they pro? They're pro-establishing a Palestinian state.
Mm-hmm.
They're pro-dividing the land of Israel. Well, that shouldn't matter. We all believe in Jesus. In other words, the method that they use, as they always put Jesus in a vacuum, as they know Jesus more than anyone else, yet this Jesus exists in this vacuum, void of obedience. Void of obedience to the law or the commandments, void of obeying him as he said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. It is very clear from the Bible that homosexuality is an abomination, yet all of a sudden everything is reinterpreted. So heresy always isolates verses and reverses the verses. So if we are unholy, we become holy. If heaven is unknown, it becomes known. If hell is eternal, it's not. If Jesus came, you know, this is the question I always ask, Brother Vic. What is the purpose for Christ to come? Most people will give an answer and say, well, you know, he came to save us. Well, while that's true, the Bible defines Christ coming as such in the book of John, 1 John, I believe. It defines him, he comes to destroy the works of the devil. So how can we be Christ-like if we don't work to destroy the works of the devil? How can we be Christ-like if we don't believe in any works to show that our faith is in obedience to Christ? So if Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, there's still works of the devil continuing. Christ hasn't accomplished fully that mission to destroy the works of the devil. When his second coming, that's when he will do it. But in the same essence, we have to always, you know, do the works that Christ commanded us to do. This is why I argue and say, no one is void of works. Andrew Farley, who says, you know, we shouldn't focus on works, he wants works. All the liberal movement wants works. Even Jimmy Carter, he says, you know, the people who interpret the Bible literally, those are the bad guys. They shouldn't be interpreting the Bible literally and doing all this works that they're doing. Yet, he himself is doing works. He commends Yasser Arafat. He wants to divide the land of Israel to create a Palestinian state. So I believe that the evangelical movement in America lacks tremendously in understanding heresy.
We'll be right back in 60 seconds. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewweekend.com. We're continuing on our series on money and a biblical worldview. 20 points for having a biblical worldview when it comes to money. Number 5, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money isn't the root of all evil. It's the love of money. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 speaks to this. Money is really neutral, isn't it? You can use a dollar to buy a candy bar, or you can use a couple dollars to buy a lottery ticket. It's not evil to buy a candy bar and enjoy that, is it? But the Bible surely speaks to the issue of gambling, ill-gotten gains, coveting that jackpot. So money's neutral. Now, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. People who love money, we've learned in our last commentary, fall into the temptation to compromise, and they fall into evil things. So let's have a biblical worldview when it comes to money. For more information on having a biblical worldview in all areas of life, our website's worldviewweekend.com. Worldviewweekend.com. For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House.
And welcome back to Crosstalk as we're coming down the home stretch here with our guest and our friend, Waleed Chubat, no stranger here to Crosstalk. And Waleed, over the years, you have been such a blessing to our network.
Thank you, my friend. You as well.
Well, you know, I mentioned this during the break, but I want to mention it on the air, that nothing bothered me nearly as bad as reading an article regarding, well, many of us are aware of the focus on the family. And over the years, Jim Dobson had a focus on the family and the needs for protecting and raising good families, etc. Through a lot of people aren't aware that through political reasons within the organization, Jim Dobson was asked to leave the organization, literally became a man without a country or a ministry, not because of any fault of his, but because there were changes that were happening in the leadership of this huge organization. The man who took over, Mr. Daley, was just recently interviewed on NPR, and they were asking him, now this is Focus on the Family, speaking for him, and he asked him the question how he felt about same-sex marriages. And his comment was, and I'm paraphrasing as carefully as I can, but he indicated that he did not feel that homosexuality was a super sin, that there were other sins too. And the statement on NPR that homosexuality is not a super sin and that there are other sins such as adultery and other moral sins. But when, Waleed, when I read in God's Word that says this, any man that lives in this lifestyle, it is an abomination unto God, what does this define it as?
Well, of course, it's an abomination of God. It reminds me of an interview my son Theodore had with a man by the name of Gay Gandhi. And he asked him about homosexuality, and Theodore basically said that the Bible prohibits it because how can you be fruitful and multiply if everybody's homosexual?
Right.
And he says, it's just a way of life. And then so Theodore countered and says, well, what about polygamy? If you can allow homosexual marriage, why not allow polygamy? Well, no, we can't do that. But wait a minute here. Why, if it's good for the geese, it must be good for the gander. Why can't we have plural marriages like the Muslims do? Who are you to dictate to the Muslim, Mr. Gandhi, that you can't have more than one wife? Mentioning the word Muslim, now this Gay Gandhi says, well, I guess I should be okay with it then. And then Theodore countered and says, see how fast I converted you to Islam?
Wow.
In other words, this is the problem with the heresy and with people who are corrupt from their inception, from their thinking they're corrupt.
And the frightening thing is that it's creeping into organizations that once held a standard, and today they're watering it down.
Right, because we think as Christians that heretics do not always deceive by intent. In the same way, you know, he must be mistaken. The poor guy maybe was under pressure. He doesn't mean to be a deceiver. However, the first misunderstanding on heretics is that most believe heretics deceive by intent. Even most heretics are unaware that deception is not always promoted with the intent to deceive. Deception, my friend, comes by people who are deceived themselves. The Bible says what? Deceiving while what? Being deceived. But evil, let's quote the Bible here, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse deceiving and being what? Deceived. So deception doesn't come for people who intend to deceive. It comes from people who are deceived as well. Deceived pastors, nevertheless, are heretics. Regardless of their naivete, they leave the church susceptible to all types of deception, like homosexuality, environmentalism, because Christians don't feel obligated to comprehend, to fight the works of the devil as Christ commanded. And at the same time, while they rebuke works, they say, oh, no works. And sound doctrine is rebuked. They are callous. This is what we see. You look at Joel Osteen. What's it about? Don't listen to the negative comments. Well, what if the comment is rebuke? What if it is Brother Vic? Vic, don't divorce your wife. Mm. It's against the Bible.
Yes.
Well, no, I don't want to hear negative comments here. In other words, it turns off the ministry of rebuke. And
yes,
that's how heretics flourish.
And as we see this, the Bible says that the blind leading the blind, and they both fall in the ditch.
Absolutely.
Folks, it's been a privilege to have Waleed Chubat, our guest, with us today, a man who one day was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, a terrorist, a man who was bent on destroying Israel, and today loves Israel, loves the Lord, has been with us today. He's written that new book called The Case for Islamophobia, The Case for Islamophobia. And the subtitle, Jihad, by the word, America's Final Warning. And again, that is Shubat, that's Shoebat.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, folks. Get a copy of it, and I hope that you will. And final word, you've got the last minute, Waleed.
Well, you know, we always have to understand, Brother Keith, the problem of America is that we have tremendous heretics abound that hate God's laws. They hate God's laws. In fact, even Pastor, the teacher, Andrew Farley, and his wife, they say, and I quote them verbatim, they say, in the United States, some Christians fight for the Ten Commandments to be posted in our public buildings. We say that we don't want our society to lose its Christian roots. But Christianity was never rooted in the law, not even in the Ten Commandments. This, to me, is heresy. We need to fight for the Ten Commandments. This is the kind of heresy of abandoning God's laws.
Waleed, thank you so much for being with us. And folks, again, I repeat that website. It's Shoebat, Shoebat.com. And that book, the new book just out, The Case for Islamophobia. And I know that you will find it very, very meaningful. God bless you, Waleed, as you continue to wake up America and the church.
And bless you as well. We pray for longevity for you, my friend.
And God bless you, man. Thanks for joining us, folks. And be in prayer for Waleed, because he has a message that America needs to hear.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.